Lately, I've been getting a bunch of emails speaking of financial struggles and desperation and difficulties. The people sending these emails are running on empty. And that's an expression that is the topic of today. Running on empty. There's an interesting difference between human beings and plant life, in that plants invariably will grow in the direction of their highest good. Plants that have a need for sunlight will thrive and will grow toward that sunlight, while at the same time, their roots being geotropic, that's the scientific phrase that says it will grow toward the center of the earth, they grow into the earth. So part of them reaches for the light and part reaches to be grounded in the earth. Plants that require less light, let's say ferns and mosses, are going to thrive in shaded areas rather than in full sunlight. Now, you know from experience that cactus can thrive in really arid areas where other plants have more difficulty with that lack of water. Grapevines, and the main reason I mention this is because I learned this when I reconnected with my childhood sweetheart, Marianne, because she owns a winery in Northern California, and she pointed out that grapevines produce the best fruit in dry, rocky, hard soil with hot days and cool or cold nights. And they're looking for limited water, and then the fruit tends to be better. They can actually grow in a year 60 feet deep into the earth, seeking a source of water, while their leaves are growing upward, trying to take advantage of the hot sunshine during the daytime. Do human beings stay rooted to the earth? Do we, at the same time, grow toward our source of light, capital L? Before we answer those questions or explore them in this talk, let's talk a little bit about what those questions even mean. How could a human being stay rooted to the earth? We're not trees, we're not plants, we're not vegetables. We're mobile, we move from place to place, we walk, we run, we take various forms of transportation to get from point A to point B. What would staying rooted mean? To stay rooted could mean that we maintain our connection to the earth. It's my opinion that in order to reach and live to be 120 and healthy, a person is going to need to keep their fingers and toes in dirt. That is, they're going to have some sort of hobby. They're going to have to be close to the earth. That is, they're not living in a penthouse on, 50, 60 floors above the earth, but in fact are very close to the earth for a couple of different reasons, one of which is grounding, the electromagnetic need to be grounded. On another level, staying rooted to the earth could mean that we eat and drink the bounty that's provided by the earth. If we're not eating what comes right out of the ground, or if we're not eating stuff that's only a few steps removed, that is, it comes out of the ground or off a bush or off a tree, and then it's processed, and there are only a couple of steps processed in that sequence, we're going to be interfering with our groundedness. I think if we eat what comes out of the earth in one form or another, we're staying connected to the earth. We're staying rooted. And if we limit what we're eating of a highly processed nature, we're going to be staying rooted. Here's what I mean. We can eat tomatoes, potatoes, pears, radishes, carrots, apples, pineapples, all kinds of things. These things come directly from the earth, from the ground, or they grow on bushes, they grow on vines, they grow on trees that are directly connected to the ground. This morning I drank multiple cups of coffee with milk, and I had cottage cheese for breakfast. Coffee beans grow on bushes that are directly connected to the earth. And those coffee beans, when they're ripened, are picked off the bushes and then roasted using fire. Frankly, that fire is oftentimes provided by the combustion of wood. The milk and the cottage cheese, obviously, are dairy products, and those things are couple of steps removed from the earth. And this is what happens. Grass grows. Cows eat the grass. And then they produce milk. The milk is harvested and processed. And that processing of milk is minimal, hopefully, with no chemical additives, although nowadays that may not be true. Cottage cheese, though, has a few additives, and that may or may not be natural, and they may or may not be appropriate. I looked at the ingredients online to see how the process of creating cottage cheese is made, and sometimes they add meat protein in it in order to create the coagulation. And that seems a little bit unusual, but maybe not so much. So if you look at that, grass, cows, milk, human intervention, natural bacteria and or chemicals equals cottage cheese. Not too bad, relatively speaking. When you look at the label of any kind of food product in a grocery store now, you're going to notice the degree of human intervention. If that list has all kinds of chemicals and other things that you either can't pronounce, never saw before, or look highly chemicalized, you can imagine that human intervention, additives, synthetic chemicals, etc., are adding to the separation between you and me and us staying rooted to the earth, to us being grounded. Plants, at least those that are phototropic, that's the scientific word that says they grow toward the source of light, are pretty common. I'm looking at bushes and lemon tree and flowers outside my window even as I speak. But less evolved, less complex plant forms like mushrooms don't have really the capability to process that much light, so they grow in much darker areas. And literally, farmers create darkened areas so they can grow mushrooms effectively. That's a different kind of environment entirely. Human beings, instead of seeking and growing toward the source of light, capital S, capital L, source of light, sometimes strive for whatever new thing is advertised, whatever's promoted as being the source of relief or happiness. Instead of choosing to grow in awareness of what I'll call the truth of existence, that's how it's labeled in the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, which I think is such a fantastic concept and an even more fantastic book. The truth of existence, instead of looking for those items, people are going to choose medication from what is now developed. And if you're in this business, you certainly appreciate this increasingly long list of maladies and diseases and illnesses and syndromes and problems. They're being invented almost like marketing schemes to sell chemicals and medical procedures to people. In cases like this, it seems instead of growing up toward the source of light, and to me, for a human being, I'm representing that not just as the sun, but more in spiritual terms toward God, toward divine consciousness, toward our source of being. Instead of doing that, we start to grow sideways toward whatever's advertised on television screens, whatever's talked about and advertised on radios, toward newspapers, toward our computer screens, toward physical products that are promoted or that we see. We're not growing upward in terms of understanding or appreciation or awareness. We're growing sideways. Running on empty is a fairly common slang expression in America. It can mean various things. It can be interpreted and it could signify different things, depending on the context of the situation. It can relate to an automobile. When we speak about running on empty an automobile, it says the automobile could be running out of fuel. Its gas gauge is showing close to the empty mark. It can relate to motivation decreasing in an individual to a very low level. It can relate to a person's losing sight of their ability or willingness to continue trying to make a situation better. Could represent the idea of running out of steam, running out of energy. It could also mean that we could be losing our ability to continue on a particular path due to despair increasing. We're running out of life force. That's when we perceive that, when that becomes our reality, we're running on empty. Most of us have had one or more of these experiences in our lives when we decided it was never going to get better. If we arrive at that fork in the road, it's that point where we can either change our direction or we can continue, which is essentially succumbing to the dying process. I could say it another way. When the direction that we're trying to go in, trying to grow in, is never going to result in what we want and our own experience of ourselves, how we want to experience ourselves, it is time to go, it is time to grow in a different direction. We know, for the most part, which direction to go in for certain physical needs. For example, if our car needs gas, we're going to go to a location that has gas for sale. If we're hungry, we're going to go to a place that has food. If we're thirsty, we go to a place that has beverages. If we need to excrete, we're going to go to a place that has a bathroom. There's nothing complicated about those processes, but it does get more complicated when we realize that we need money, we need healing, or we need peace of mind. Where do we go? Where do we grow in order to satisfy that need? Let's back up a little bit. Let's look at these questions and the influence that tells us where to go and where to grow. There are TV ads. If you're tired and hungry in the afternoon, go eat a Snickers candy bar loaded with sugar. They leave that part out. This may be a good time to mention the obesity epidemic in the United States. And one of the main culprits in that obesity epidemic, eating habits, sugar. If you have heartburn, we're told, go get a prescription drug with a list of warnings longer than the list of benefits of that particular drug. Listen to the small print in any ad that you listen to or see on television that tells you, oh, get this, you'll be happy. And all the imagery is talking about happiness, but very quickly they speak the small print that tells you of all the dangers. If men have erectile dysfunction, that's a sign that they need a prescription drug that is dangerous and in its complications. If you want to convey love to your sweetheart, you should buy diamond jewelry. If you want to feel manly or successful, you should buy cars or trucks that go fast, fly through the mud, can lift heavy loads, cause envy in your neighbors, and, they leave this part out, saddle you with heavy car payments. And it goes on and on, the number of directions we're told to go into or to grow into to meet our needs. What do we do when we feel tired or hungry at 3 in the afternoon? Besides eat a Snickers, drink a cup of coffee, what else? I think we can do at least 3 things. Number 1, we can realize that our bodies have natural rhythms. One of the ideas in the truth of existence, number 8 out of 9 actually, number 8 is that there are natural rhythms. Now, you don't have any difficulty understanding this, and neither do I when we're talking about looking out the window right now and recognizing it's daytime. It's a little afternoon Eastern time, and the sun is up. That's not hard. Light and dark, there's a rhythm. High tide and low tide, there's a rhythm. We're in a season, this is a winter, and it's noticeable in some parts of the country, and in a couple of months, we're going to notice the joys of spring, followed by the joys of summer, followed by the joys of autumn, followed by the joys of winter again. That seasonality speaks to this rhythm. So if we can recognize the natural cycles in the body, natural rhythms, that 3 o'clock in the afternoon has a tendency to be a low point for lots of people. It feels like the energy is ebbing. But instead of artificially stimulating the body with sugars or caffeine or other things, we can acknowledge that this point in our day is a normal occurrence. It's a whole different ballgame then. The second thing we could do is we could add water to the body. by drinking a glass of water, maybe two glasses of water. People often misinterpret this signal, this thirst signal, as a hunger signal. Oh, I'm tired. That's thirst in a lot of cases. And so instead of giving the body what you understand, which is, oh, I need sugar, I need caffeine, add water. Add water to it instead of sugared solids. Other signaled demands, and I put signaled demands in quotes, that we experience during the day or evening are often misinterpreted as, uh-oh, that's an indicator I need to eat. Actually, it doesn't have to be that way. But if we habituate eating as a response to a lot of different signals, well, guess what? We're going to be doing a lot more eating than is really necessary. We can notice the mental demands. That is, I just had a thought, and now I'm thinking in order to respond to that demand, I've got to. We can notice those mental demands and those emotional reactions. And as we do, we'll gain awareness of what is really happening instead of like a knee-jerk reaction to run to the refrigerator or the pantry or the snack bar. If we know what's really happening, what is actually going on, then we're going to be in a position to make a more effective choice or more effective response to what is going on and get back into balance. Getting back into balance is what we want. And the way to do that is know exactly what is going out of balance. The third idea is that we can move our sluggish bodies. So if we feel sluggish in the afternoon, we go, oh, wow, seems intuitive that I need to rest. Actually, what's counterintuitive and even more effective is to get up and move. Sluggishness, you can pretty much guess, is like, oh, that's slow-moving energy. Why don't I move the energy? Exactly. So even if we feel tired, we can stretch, we can move, we can go for a walk. We can do something, something physical, whatever's appropriate based upon our individual physical conditions. And we don't have to run a marathon. It's just that little bit of movement makes a big difference. So let's go back to the needs for money, healing, and peace of mind. When our checking account is running on empty, where do we go? Where do we grow? Well, this is what you're going to hear. Credit card companies are going to say, come to us. Debt consolidation companies say, come to us. Bankruptcy lawyers will say, come to us. Pawn shops, come to us. J.G. Wentworth, see his ads, come to us. Injury claim attorneys say, come to us. Scam artists say, come to us. Get rich quick marketers say, come to us. Self-help gurus say, come to us. No one is saying, go inside yourself. No one is saying, go inside yourself, become aware of the values and experience that you have and the knowledge that you have and share it with others. No one is saying, go inside and then give more value to others. No one is saying, you reap what you sow. If you want to reap more, sow more. No one says, connect to the source of all ideas, all good, all value. And I represent those all with capital letters. So connect to that source and receive awareness of how you can contribute ideas, how you can contribute good, how you can contribute value into the lives of other people. People pay for that. That's the exchange of energy that you're looking for. Lack of money equals lack of exchange of energy. Here is where not to go. Don't go chasing the false gods promoted by the marketers on television, on the radio, on the internet, or in print. Here is where to go. Go to God. Go to God in meditation. Go to God in prayer. Go to God with sincere openness. How could we possibly hear that still small voice if we don't quiet our own noisy, anxious, fear-filled, overstimulated minds. If we think our problems are due to God's punishment, we can let go of that widespread superstition. If your God is not yet the God described by Jesus in the book Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth, you may want to study this loving God and how it supports us through those items and availability 24/7, 365 days of the year through the truth of existence. We are supplied, but that supply comes to us only to the degree that we allow ourselves to receive it. And those supplies show up in the form of growth, nutrition and nourishment, health, protection, fulfillment of our needs, work, survival, rhythm, and a system of law and order. That is where to go. Go to God. Go to God for help with finances. Go to God for help with health. Go to God for help with peace of mind. If we're faced with thoughts or emotions that we can't seem to handle, give them to God. We can deliberately and sincerely ask God to take the energy of these thoughts, feelings, and memories and heal them, recycle them, turn them into light, turn them into value. This actually works. It's very practical. If you're stuck in a loop of negativity, you're thinking the same thing over and over again, and you go, wow, I can't break that. See if you can stop it for just a moment and hand that energy over to God. Speak it, ask for that help, give it up to God. I'm not saying that what we want to do is give God our problems and then continue the same thinking, the same feeling, the same behaviors that created the problems in the first place. That's foolish. If we're not growing our awareness, we're going to be right back where we are. We want to grow in our awareness. We want to receive awareness so God can better work for us, in us, and through us. And so if our increased awareness serves to light our own path, that's fantastic. And if it serves to reignite hope and connection to God for other people, that is even more fantastic. I believe that God wants each of us to be available to be used as instruments to deliver the items in the truth of existence to other people. As a parent, one of my roles would have been, is now, still, the idea that I can be a conduit of the truth of existence, that list I just read you a minute ago, the idea of growth and nutrition and nourishment, health, protection, fulfillment of need, and so on. That's the truth of existence. Those items I can facilitate those. You can facilitate those. You can facilitate them for yourself, and you could facilitate them for family. You can facilitate them for other people. That's the greatest of exchanges. That's where money is. Not false promises, but the delivery of the truth of existence to other people. We need to learn what these items are in the truth of existence, how we can align to that natural energy. We want to access them for ourselves as proof, you know, that preaching or teaching or selling things that we don't really believe in, we're not really familiar with, doesn't really make any sense. We want to experience them. We want to prove them as being reliable and accessible in our own lives. And then as a model for that love, people who are receptive to these ideas will be attracted to us. This is not about going out and converting people. This is not torturing people into accepting ideas or believing as we believe. This is really more of being available to people whose awareness is searching for these ideas to know how to connect more fully to the true source of money, health, and peace of mind. Because I've mentioned commercials on TV a couple of times. Let me finish with this idea. It's a takeoff of a milk commercial. Got empty? Get God. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer that comes from Christ Returns, letter 8. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know that it is your will that we should be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.